At the beginning, there was no personal animosity between Schrödinger and Heisenberg as they began to question each other's interpretation of quantum mechanics. But soon emotions began to run high. In public and in their papers, both managed, on the whole, to rein in their true feelings. In their letters, however, there was no need for tact and restraint. When he initially tried but failed to prove the equivalence of wave and matrix mechanics, Schrödinger was somewhat relieved that there might be none, since the mere thought makes me shudder. If I later had to present the matrix calculus to a young student as describing the true nature of the atom. In his paper, On the Relation Between Heisenberg-Born Jordan Quantum Mechanics and My Own, Schrödinger was at pains to distance wave mechanics from matrix mechanics. My theory was inspired by L. de Broglie and by brief but infinitely far-seeing remarks of A. Einstein, he explained. I was absolutely unaware of any genetic relationship with Heisenberg. Schrödinger concluded that, because of the lack of visualization in matrix mechanics, I felt deterred by it, if not to say repelled. Heisenberg was even less diplomatic about the continuity that Schrödinger was trying to restore to the atomic realm where, as far as he was concerned, discontinuity ruled. The more I think about the physical portion of the Schrödinger theory, the more repulsive I find it, he told Pauli in June. What Schrödinger writes about the visualizability of his theory is probably not quite right. In other words, it's crap. 2 months earlier, Heisenberg had appeared more conciliatory when he described wave mechanics as incredibly interesting. But those who knew Bohr recognized that Heisenberg was employing exactly the sort of language favored by the Dane, who always called an idea or an argument interesting when in fact he disagreed with it. Increasingly frustrated as more of his colleagues abandoned matrix mechanics for the easier-to-use wave mechanics, Heisenberg finally snapped. He could hardly believe it when Born, of all people, started using Schrödinger's wave equation. In a fit of anger, Heisenberg called him a traitor. He may have been envious of the growing popularity of Schrödinger's alternative, but after its discovery, it was Heisenberg who was responsible for the next great triumph of wave mechanics. He might have been annoyed at Born, but Heisenberg had also been seduced by the mathematical ease with which Schrödinger's approach could be applied to atomic problems. In July 1926, he used wave mechanics to account for the line spectra of helium. Just in case anyone read too much into his adoption of the rival formulation, Heisenberg pointed out that it was nothing more than expediency. The fact that the two theories were mathematically equivalent meant he could use wave mechanics while ignoring the intuitive pictures Schrödinger painted with it. However, even before Heisenberg posted his paper, Born had used Schrödinger's palette to paint an entirely different picture on the same canvas when he discovered that probability lay at the heart of wave mechanics and quantum reality.